this, or you could get with that. You could get with this, or you could get with that. You could get with this, or you could get with that. You could get with, or you could get with. That's not how it goes? Oh. It's not, but you guys know what I'm talking about, right? How does it go? Okay, anyways. This or that. We're talking about this or that. And so we'll pick up here, right here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says this, and Paul's speaking here. He says, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say, or when the world says, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, my brothers, my sisters, my peoples, my peeps, my homies, my G's, my cats, my dogs, are not in darkness, so that this day of the Lord, should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons and daughters of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. That whether we wake or sleep, in other words, whether we are here alive on the earth or we die and we pass away, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." Remember, we're talking about this or that. Before I say anything else, if you wouldn't mind turning one more time to the right, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 16. This or that. What side of the line are you on? What do you believe tonight? What have you been listening to? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, it says, "But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some." In other words, Hymenaeus and Philetus had reasoned and gotten involved with these idle babblings and were preaching to everybody, "Hey, listen, the resurrection is already past. Jesus came, he died, he rose again, took with him who he wanted to take with him. And if you're left behind, too bad, so sad, you ain't gonna make it, you're gonna burn." Pretty much what they were saying, all right? And so what I find here in these two passages of Scripture is I find a stark contrast. I find this or that. I find one person proclaiming the Word of God and other people not. And I believe that in today's society, we have the same discourse of opposites going on. You've got Hollywood saying all kinds of stuff, coming out with movies like, it's a little bit old now, but coming out with movies like The Da Vinci Code, based on a book. Yeah, but Pastor Joe, we know it's not real, but I think that if you were honest with yourself, you could admit that those kinds of things sow seeds of doubt in our hearts and our minds. You've got Hollywood saying stuff. You've got Lady Gaga saying other stuff. "I was born this way. If you believe in him, you crazy." Right? You guys are looking at me like you have no idea what I'm talking about. You've got the news telling you today. You got CNN, Fox News, whatever side you're on, the Democrats, the Republicans, whatever. They're all telling you, man, the world is on fire, and you know what it is. And so today I want to ask you today, are you listening to this or are you listening to that? Are you taking heed to this or are you taking heed to all of that? And most specifically, I want to talk about, and you can see it in these two passages of Scripture, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because the bottom line tonight, young adults, is that God has designed for there to be a hope living big in each and every one of our hearts and our lives every single day. And that is a hope that surely Jesus Christ is coming back one day. The trumpet of God is going to sound. The eastern sky is going to split. Go ahead, you can clap. Jesus is going to appear in all of his glory, riding on a white horse, coming back for you and for me. Coming back for you and for me. And so I believe that God wanted me to come to you and declare that to you, just as Paul did. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, verses number 11 and 12, we have it up on the overhead. It says, "It is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." It says, "The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Therefore, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. And today I wanted to come and declare to you that word of the Lord. I found that as I was studying the Word of God, Paul the Apostle in 1 Thessalonians, the first passage of Scripture that we read, he came and he preached it so strong to the Thessalonians in his letter that when they read it, they were kind of freaked out, like, oh my God, Jesus is coming tomorrow, and I ain't ready yet. My life is just not where I want it to be. I haven't done everything that I need to do. He's coming tomorrow. Oh my God! And Paul the Apostle actually has to come along in the second book and address the issue and say, listen, guys, he's coming soon. You should be ready. But listen, we're not quite there yet. You'll see the day approaching. You'll see the times and the season. You'll see things coming to pass. So you can take a chill pill for now. The day is coming, but we're not quite there yet. And so just like Paul declared to them, I want to declare to you that Jesus Christ is coming again. And the day is very soon. The day is very soon. And today, I believe personally that he's going to come in our lifetime. I think that there are signs all over the place showing his second coming. And today, I want to make sure that you're listening to this kind of a message so that the hope of salvation is living big within your heart. The hope that, you know what, Jesus Christ is coming again and he's coming back for me. And without getting ahead of myself a little bit here, if you wouldn't mind turning with me to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. It's a little harder to get there in the wind. Luke chapter 21. Part of the reason I wanted to share this with you tonight is because I really feel God impressing on my heart that we all need to be reminded, myself included, about Jesus coming back for us. And the bottom line is, you guys, is that we can easily get caught up in this thing called life here on planet Earth. Life as we know it. You know, you were born on your birthday. Let that go through your head. You were born on your birthday. You were born on your birthday. You came out of the womb and your parents were like, ksh, 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 taking all these pictures, put them in a little book. You know how it is. You're older now and your friends show up, family shows up. They're like, oh my gosh, look at my little baby. And you're like, oh my God, Mom, why you have to show that picture? I'm naked. Took pictures of you. After you were born, you got up to about between the ages of 3 and 5. You went to preschool, graduated from preschool, went to kindergarten, went from kindergarten to elementary school. Elementary school, you graduated, you went to junior high. Junior high, you graduated, went to high school. Hopefully you graduated from high school. From high school, you went to college. Maybe, maybe not. That's not so big of a deal as high school. But went to college. Hey, you're married today. Maybe you're going to be married. Going to get married, have kids. You have kids or you're going to have kids. And the circle of life continues. It's the circle of life. And it moves us all. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's a circle of life. And so it's very easy to get caught up in this thing called life, in the circle of life. The pursuits of life, my career, my getting married, the new house, the new car, I got to pay my bills, I got to get my dog, whatever it is. The pursuits of life, and we forget about this amazing hope that, you know what, Jesus Christ is coming back. He's going to appear in a cloud in all of his glory. And so here you are in Luke chapter 21, verse number 25. The letter is in red, so we know Jesus is talking here. He says, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth. Distress of nations. Does anybody see that going on right now? And on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, verse 28, watch what it says, what Jesus says here. Now, when these things begin to happen, notice he didn't say, once it's all said and done, once I appear. He says, now, when these things begin to happen, and just a moment ago, everybody said, yeah, I could see distress in the nations. Watch what he says. When these things begin to happen, When you begin to see these things come to pass, he says this. He says, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. And so today I'm here to tell you that in this circle of life, whether things are going good or things are going bad, whether things are turning out the way you'd like them to or not, whether they're turning out the way you need them to be or not, I want you to know that there is a hope for you and for me that will give us strength to help us press on and press through. And that hope is the hope of salvation, and that Jesus Christ is coming again for all of his people who believe in him. And on that day when he appears, I'm here to tell you that every wrong will be made right. Every tear wiped away. Death will be swallowed up in life, and we will forever be with the Lord. Am I talking to anybody in the house tonight? He's coming back, and he's coming back soon. Coming back and coming back soon. And so today you have to ask yourself, what have I been listening to? Have I been listening to this, or have I been listening to that? Do I believe this, or do I believe that? Do I have this hope living in me? Or as we read about Hymenaeus and Philetus, that my faith is being overthrown by the cares of this world, by the tests, by the trials, by the things that are taking place, this or that. The other thing I want to talk to you tonight about is, I'll be 28 in about a week, so I grew up in church, so I've been around church for a long time, heard lots of messages. 4 days? I don't even know. I don't pay attention anymore. Oh, yeah, 4 days. Sorry, not a week. Pastor Luke's like, man, 4 days, come on. So anyways, 28 years old, and been around church since, I got saved when I was a little kid. Heard lots of messages. That doesn't make me cool. That doesn't make me smart, because as we know, man, people come to church here year after year, and they still don't bring their Bible, so anyway. So heard a lot of messages about Jesus coming back again. And most of the time, you'll hear the speaker talk about, man, in light of this truth that Jesus is coming back again, man, and they'll come and tell you, man, if Jesus was coming tomorrow, what would you be doing today? And then they make it a point to say, man, I'd be out in the streets. I'd be out in the middle of the freeway, stopping the freeway like, Jesus is coming and you need to get saved. Today is the day of salvation. But I found something interesting as I was studying for this message, that Paul and Peter, actually, they bring out a different point. Now, I want you to hear me tonight. I don't want you leaving here, man, Pastor Joe saying people preach about, you know, going out and getting people saved, Jesus is coming tomorrow. He says they're crazy, because I do not say they're crazy. If I knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow, I'd be right with you in the middle of the freeway like, dude! All right? But I found something interesting in studying this subject. And I quoted it to you earlier, Romans chapter 13. So if you wouldn't mind turning there with me, Romans chapter 13. In light of the fact that Jesus is about to appear, in light of the fact that it's right around the corner, that eastern sky is about to split and we're going to see the King face to face, what does Paul and Peter say? Romans chapter 13. Verse number 11. He says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Watch what he says here. Therefore, run out into the street and get people saved. No, he doesn't. He says, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and in drunkenness, not in lewdness and in lust, not in strife and in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. I was like, hold on a minute. You mean I need to go out and preach, right? That's what you're saying? No, the issue that he begins to deal with, in light of this truth, that Jesus Christ is right around the corner. I'm about to see him face to face. He doesn't say, go out and preach the gospel. And I'm not saying that the Bible doesn't say that, because the Bible does say that. But the two issues, the two major things he brings out is, man, what about your conduct? What is your lifestyle like? Is it like this or is it like that? Is your lifestyle following after a lifestyle that God, that is pleasing to God, that is godly, or is it like the world? Is it like the world? You know, I just had some friends over last night, and we were watching American Idol. It was DVR'd from like the night or two before, because we hadn't seen it. We want to, you know, see who got kicked off. I personally, I don't care anymore because my favorite people got kicked off. So they were Casey and Jacob, just in case you're wondering. And so anyways, we turn it on, and Lady Gaga gets on there. And she's, you know, she's, I from what I remember, I think they had recorded one of her concerts or something like that. But I'm telling you, man, I like 2 minutes into it, I was just like, all right, we're going to fast forward this. We're going to fast. And so I said, that's an example of how not to live, of how not to live. But again, he begins to address the issues of our lifestyle, of our conduct, of our conduct in light of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming. What kind of conduct do you have? Now turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Conduct, casting off the works of darkness, putting on the armor of light, putting on Jesus Christ and making no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. 2 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse number 9, the Bible says this. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. The promise in this passage of Scripture is talking about Jesus coming back. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Watch what he says. Therefore, in light of this truth, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? What manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? You know what, tonight, guys, I don't want to make a big deal. I don't want to harp on this issue. Pastor Luke did absolutely an amazing job last week talking about this or that, talking about the fruit of the Spirit versus the fruit of the flesh. How many of you guys are here for that? I thought that was absolutely the bomb. But notice here, he says, in light of this, in light of Jesus returning, in light of seeing him face to face, in light of the fact of the world coming to an end, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And so I want to say to you today, sadly, unfortunately, and Pastor Luke can attest to this, this past year, I've heard more stories than I ever have of young people. Man, they knew better. They knew better. They could have made a lifestyle change, and yet they were making provision. They made provision for the flesh. And so we all have to come to a place where we ask ourselves, what have I been listening to, this or that? What do I believe, this or that? Do I have the hope that God designed for me to have living big within my heart? Or do I have that, something else? And in light of that, then, what kind of lifestyle am I living? What kind of lifestyle? This kind of a lifestyle or that kind of a lifestyle? The Bible says that when Jesus Christ appears, live in such a way that you will not be ashamed at his coming. One verse says, live in such a way that you'll not be ashamed at his coming. But when that day comes, man, you'll be like, here I am, Jesus, take me home. I love that verse, that song that they sing today. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, Lord. Your power and your love have saved my soul. I'm here to tell you today, if you're not ashamed of the gospel, if you're going to pursue after the things of God, man, the power and the glory of God are coming back for you one day, very soon. Very, very soon. And in closing, I know I didn't go very long tonight. It's probably because I've been out for like 7 weeks. So I got to get used to it again. But listen, in closing, I love that verse that we talked about in Luke. Jesus says, when you see these things beginning to happen, when you see the beginning of these things, lift up your head. Lift up your heart. Lift up your attention. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your life. Lift up your mind. Lift up your soul upon the Lord who is near to appearing. And receive hope that will help you, carry on and push through. Because your redemption draws nigh. Your redemption draws nigh. I like how the old school preacher said it. Your redemption draweth nigh. Hallelujah. Your redemption draws nigh. And so if you got something from the Word of God today, why don't you go ahead and give him a great big praise?